Good morning, gentlemen, and any ladies that may be listening.
It's Ayin Bey's
Shraggy.
With a dot. With a single dot.
Yeah, single dot means it's Ahmed Aleph, first page, and two dots is the second side.
If I'm right.
Ahmed Bey's.
First, second.
Yeah. Okay. So the Mishnah I'm getting an incoming voice call from Rabbi Miller. He can wait there. He probably wants to know if there's any news. No news yet. Okay, so the Mishnah, which we've been working with the past few weeks, the second part of the Mishnah, we're now going to try to shed some light, quite literally, on this on the second part of the Mishnah.
Okay,
it says, Haya Baba Machteres.
What line?
This is the Mishnah, which is the first wide line, fourth word into the Mishnah. If a person was coming in the tunnel, and he broke the barrel, if he has blood, he's chayev. He's obligated for the barrel, as we explained. But if he doesn't have blood, he is exempt. As explained, that if a person has blood, it means that they are a live person. They essentially are not a redif. Yeah, they're not hunting someone down, trying to kill them, therefore allowing the other person to kill them first to save their life. They have blood, and therefore we don't have the issue of when you have two punishments, you're only going to get the most severe one. Therefore, seeing as at the time, yeah, he wasn't obligated to the death penalty, he had blood. Therefore, when he breaks the barrel, he indeed is chayev, is obligated to pay for it. However, ein lo damim, if he doesn't have blood, then he broke the barrel at the same time as being essentially obligated to the death penalty. Therefore, he's going to be exempt from paying for the damages that he caused to this barrel. Okay, that was the Mishnah. Okay, and that's how we explained yesh lo damim and ein lo damim. If he has blood, if he doesn't have blood, we explained it to mean that either he's obligated the death penalty because he is a roidef, yeah, he is hunting someone down essentially, because as we explained in previous classes, when he steps into the house and the homeowner sees him, he's not going to stand by and let this burglar, he's not going to let this burglar go ahead and steal his candlestick, so he's going to say no.
Burglar is when he sneaks in.
Right.
Thief is when he goes in and just invades.
Okay, thank you for the reminder. Okay. So we're dealing with a burglar over here. Okay. So when this burglar comes in, the homeowner is not going to say, here, take all my stuff. He's going to say, no, don't take my stuff. And then the burglar is going to say, get out of my way. I didn't dig that tunnel for the past 2 months for nothing. I'm going to get those candlesticks, whether I have to kill you or not. So he's going to go ahead and kill the homeowner. So the homeowner, therefore, is allowed to preempt that. And even before it comes to this, as he sees his head poking out of the tunnel, he's allowed to take his run into Matthew's office, take one of his samurai swords, and go ahead and off with his head. Go ahead and take off his head. Yeah, so this is what we explained was the definition of ein lo damim or yesh lo damim. Yeah, ein lo damim, because he's a murderer, so he's got the death penalty. So if I killed him, ein lo damim, he doesn't have blood. Just like if you kill a dead person, not obligated. If you kill a dead person, he's already dead. He's essentially halachically, from a halachic perspective, we see him as a dead man walking, and therefore, if he did a damage at the same time, he's going to be exempt from it. So that is that's what a dead ein lo damim means. He doesn't have blood. If he does have blood, it means he's alive. You can't kill a live person. Therefore, if you would go ahead and kill him, if you would be later found out to be yesh lo damim, then you'd be obligated for murder. Yeah, you'd be called a murderer. Okay, so that's what we said the definition of what is yesh le damim and ein le damim. The question is though, how does a person become yesh le damim and ein le damim? What would be the distinction that makes a person in our situation of Hababa Machteris, a guy burrowing and tunneling in, what is the distinction about whether he's yesh le damim or ein le damim?
From whose standpoint?
From our standpoint.
I'm talking about, is this from the homeowner's standpoint?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, the difference is going to be, I mean, not from the burglar's standpoint.
Yeah.
Because the burglar doesn't care so much. But from our standpoint, looking at the situation, yeah, either you're the homeowner or with a court who's trying to charge him with breaking this barrel. Yeah, if you're the homeowner, it's going to be a big question. Am I allowed to kill the person or not? If you're in the court, there's going to be another question.
If you're,
does he have to pay for the barrel or not? That's the halachic practical application, practical difference, nafgamina, as we say. That's the practical difference that it's going to make, whether he's yesh lo damim or ein lo damim. How does he become ein lo damim or yesh lo damim? What is? Why would be a person either have blood or not have blood? What would be the distinction? So if I remember rightly, Professor mentioned a couple of weeks ago maybe, is he in the tunnel or is he not in the tunnel anymore? Because after he's left the tunnel, Professor said, once he's left the tunnel, he's ein lo damim. He's yesh lo damim. Right?
You
once you leave the tunnel.
Escaping, you mean?
He's gone.
He's escaping.
Or actually, do you know? No, 1 second. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, once he's gone, yeah, that's going to be another situation. Of course, once he's gone, he's gone. He's not murdering anyone. Professor wanted to say there might be a difference whether he's in the tunnel facing towards the house or in the tunnel facing out of the house. If he's on his way out. On his way out, Professor said he might be in that case, yesh lo damim. He might have just got his blood back. But I think we said over there that it's not so clear that would be the case, because if someone came into the tunnel and said, "Hey, what are you doing here? That's my friend's candlesticks." What's he gonna do? What's the burglar gonna do?
Run. He's gonna run.
He can't run. He can't run. The friend just came in the tunnel that way. He's running away from the homeowner.
Oh.
He's coming this way, and he's got another guy standing in the tunnel blocking his exit, blocking his escape. What's he going to do? He's going to kill him again. So he's still ein lo damim. As long as he has not escaped, yeah, completed his final escape, he's still ein lo damim. Yeah, so which direction he is, that's not going to make a difference of whether he has blood or doesn't have blood. So what could possibly be a defining factor and a variable that would either give him blood or not give him blood?
His intention to kill.
He's a burglar. You're right. It is absolutely his intention to kill. But what we're positing is a burglar always has an intention to kill.
To achieve
because, as the Gemara says, there's a chazakah, there's a very strong assumption that the homeowner is not going to stand by his money. And therefore, he's going to stand up against the burglar. And the burglar, when he sees the homeowner stand up against him, he's going to kill him. So what could change the intention to kill?
The possibility of escape?
He's capable of killing.
You mean if he's incapable of killing?
Well, suppose he's got no arms, for example.
I'm not sure how well he would manage to dig a tunnel if he didn't have any arms.
Well, his friend dug it for him. He just went in to steal the candlesticks.
And he's going to put the candlesticks between his legs and teeth. Well, he could bite the person's neck, you know, as well. Very sharp teeth.
He has no teeth. He's gonna grab with his gums.
But he could grab the neck also.
The bar tree.
One would think that, first of all, he's already grabbed what he wants. Now, if he has the, presumably, he wants to get out of there, as opposed to killing anyone. This is the... if someone blocks his escape, that's a whole different story.
Okay, so essentially now, seeing as someone could possibly block his escape, yeah, the homeowner could find another tunnel and come round and block him and say, hey, you're not going to go anywhere. He's still, until he's completed his escape, doesn't have any blood. He could do anything if someone blocks his escape. Okay, so let's see the Gemara and how the Gemara explains. Now, before doing that, we'll see the Pasuk. Okay, we'll see the Pasuk once more. We'll see the verse over here. In B'mach Teres Yemotze Ganav. We have it right down here, this corner here. Im b'machteres yematzeh ganav. If in the tunnel he was found, the burglar, if the burglar was found in the tunnel, v'huka, and he was hit, v'mace, and he died, ein lo damim, he doesn't have blood. There is no blood guilt. You are not guilty for that, for killing him. It's not called murder. It was called self-defense. Ein lo damim. Im zorcha hashemesh alav, if the sun dideth shine upon him, damim loy, he does have blood. Shalem yeshalem, he shall surely pay. Im ein loy v'nim kar b'gnevaso, and if he doesn't have any money with which to pay, then he is sold in his thievery. Okay, so
he's sold in what?
In his thievery.
Okay.
Im zorcha hashemesh alav, if the sun shone upon him, damim loy, he has blood. Okay.
So he's out of the tunnel then.
Ah. Wonderful. What it sounds like over here is that he is now out of the tunnel. Yeah? The sun shone upon him. Yeah? It sounds like he's out of the tunnel. Once he's out of the tunnel, then he gets his blood comes rushing back, and he has to pay. Okay. Can you think of a problem with this based on the Gemara that we've learnt in the past? Remember the principle of being obligated to punishments at the same time. And the concept of the acquisition of thievery. Remember, we said, how does thievery work? The principle over here is that at the point where you steal, right, you make an acquisition. That's an acquisition that you made at that moment of stealing. If you make that acquisition at the moment of stealing, and you happen to be ein lo damim then you're exempt. What does it matter that now you're outside?
You're not a rodef if you're outside.
It doesn't matter. Bedamim kaninu, as the Gemara said. Bedamim kaninu, you acquired it with your blood. You acquired these candlesticks with your blood. The moment when you acquired them, made that kinyan gazela, that burglaring acquisition, you were chayev misa. Seeing as you were chayev misa, and you are obligated to pay back candlesticks, we're only going to give you the most severe one. You know, technicality, now you've left, now you're not obligated in death penalty because you're not a risk anymore. Technicality, you're exempt. So, im zorcha hashemesh alav, now that he's outside and the sun is shining upon him, ain't going to make a difference because he already stole it. And the point that he stole it, then he was obligated to death penalty. So we're not going to obligate him to pay. Do you hear?
I hear.
Does it make sense? Out?
No.
Of course not.
Why not?
can't give you a technical answer.
Do you understand it, though? Yeah. You understand it? Okay. Okay. This is a problem with the pasuk that we have learned. The Gemara raises a different issue, a different difficulty. Yeah, which is like this. Have a look inside. Five lines up from the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan. It was taught in a brisa. Tanu Rabbanan. Ein loy damim im zorcha Hashem Hashalov. He does not have blood if the sun shone upon him. Asks the Gemara, V'chi Hashemesh Olav Bilvad Zorcha? Does the sun only shine upon him? What does it mean, if the sun shines upon him? The sun shines upon him, doesn't shine upon anyone else, only shines upon him. Of course it doesn't, it shines upon everyone. So what does it mean, if the sun shone upon him specifically?
Because we're differentiating between if he did it at night and in the darkness.
The sun, if it's daytime, the sun shines on everyone.
Yeah.
Sun doesn't shine, just shine on you.
Right.
So what's the relevance when we're saying, if the sun shone upon him? The relevance is, says the Gemara, Ella, rather, Imboror lecha hadavar keshemesh. If the matter is clear to you, like the sun.
So this doesn't mean literally.
It does not mean literally. Because if it meant literally, then why would it be so specific and said, if the sun shone upon him? Should have said, the sun, if the sun shines. Yeah, if the sun shone upon him, the sun doesn't just shine upon him. Sun shines upon everyone. So we have a license over here to interpret the pasuk, the verse over here, figuratively. Figuratively meaning, if the sun shone upon him, if it was clear to you like day, like the sun is shining, like, wow, that is so clear, that's so obvious. Bara lecha kashemesh, that what? Sheyesh lo shalom imcha, that he has peace with you. If the matter is clear like the sun, that he is peaceful.
That he has no
He came
no intention.
With absolutely peaceful intentions. He came just with the intention, I want to steal candlesticks and nothing more. If it's clear as the sun is shining, that he came with no ill intent
that
other than to steal.
He's just coming in and he wants to walk off with it.
Yep. Then I'll target him. You're not allowed to kill him.
Now, how do you know that?
Ah, excellent. Okay, that we'll see in a moment. Ve'im lav, hargehu. I'm sorry, I skipped a bit. I skipped a line. Im bar lo chadav kashemesh, if it's clear to you like the sun, she'ein lo shalom imcha, that he does not have peace with you, he has not come in peace, hargehu. You have to kill him. Yeah, it's clear as the day that this guy has ill intent. Kill him. V'im lav, but if not, al tahargehu, then don't kill him. Okay? Now, there's another brisa which says the other way around. Tanya idach. Another brisa says, im zorcha Hashem ashalav, if the sun shines upon him, domim loy. He does have blood. And the Gemara asks the same question. V'chi Hashemesh Olav Bilvad Zarcha. The sun only shines upon him. Ella, rather in Bar Lachach Keshemesh, if it's clear as day, Sheyesh Lo Shalom Imcha, that he has peace with you, Al Targehu. Don't kill him. If he came without any ill intent, don't kill him. Be'im Lav, if not, Hargehu, kill him. Okay? Now, first, we have to analyze these two brises. It's very interesting. Have a look at the verse that these two brises are bringing. Afterwards, Tanu Rabbanan over here. Ein loy damim im zorcha Hashemesh olav. You see that? Ein loy damim, he does not have blood, Im zarcha hashemesh alav, if the sun shines upon him. Now skip down two lines. Im zarcha at the end. Im zarcha hashemesh alav, damim loy. If the sun shines upon him, he has blood.
Mm-hmm. You see that? It's a contradiction.
What do you mean a contradiction? This is one verse. This is a pasuk. Ain lo damim. Look at this. Ain lo damim. He doesn't have blood. Im zarcha hashemesh alav. If the sun shines upon him. Next one. Im zarcha hashemesh alav. Damim lo. He does have blood. What's going on? So let's go back to this verse. Have a look at the pasuk. Im b'machteres yimatzei ganav. If the ganav was found in a tunnel, the hook of a mace, and he was hit. Ein lo damim. He does not have blood. End of the verse. Im zarcha hashemesh alav, damim lo. If the sun shines upon him, he does have blood. Now, question is, where does the end of the verse come? You open up a Sefer Torah. There's no soft pasuk. Yeah, there's no full stops. There's no punctuation. Yeah, so how the Torah is interpreted, is in Chazal's hands. Yeah, we have a Masorah of how the Torah is interpreted, of where all of the punctuation goes. Yeah, that's totally that's not there in the Sefer Torah. There's nothing midiraisa. There's nothing in the Torah shebichsav that would indicate how we darshan, how we read, and how we interpret, and how we punctuate the pasuk. So essentially, this is a very open verse. The verse would read like this: Im b'machteres yimatzei ganav v'hukav v'meis ein loy damim im zarcha hashemesh alav. Full stop. Damim loy shalim yishalim. Yeah, it could be read like that. How we have it is ein loy damim. Full stop. Im zarcha hashemesh alav. Damim loy. But we could read it either way. So we have two braces which show us that there is not necessarily contradictory, but there are two valid ways of reading this pasuk. There is a way which is valid to read that if the sun shines upon him as going on the previous words, and the punctuation coming afterwards, or if the sun shines upon him, going with the next words, and the punctuation comes beforehand. Those are two valid ways of punctuating the pasuk. Okay? They are going to have very different ramifications. Okay? What does it mean when we say, if he does not have blood, the sun shines upon him? Yeah? Ein lo damim im zarcha hashemesh alav. It means it's clear as day that he doesn't have blood. He's coming to kill you. Yeah? That's the way of reading that. It's clear as day. Yeah, clear as the sun that he has ill intent. Ain lo damim. He doesn't have blood. Another way of interpreting is that it's clear as day that he has blood. He's clear as day that he doesn't have any ill intent. Okay? Do you see that? Now, what's the halachic ramification of this? So far, nothing. If it's clear as day that he's coming with ill intent, you're allowed to kill him. Okay? If it's clear as day that he's not coming with ill intent, then you're not allowed to kill him. What's the halakhic ramification? Nothing. Just how you read a pasuk. Yeah?
And this is regardless of what he's stealing.
This is regardless of what he's stealing. Or again, we still don't know what does it mean that it's clear as day. How do we define clear as day that he's got intent or not? That we still don't know. But we haven't said anything, any major halachic ramifications over here. We've said if it's clear as day that he's got ill intent, you're not allowed to kill him. If it's clear as day that he hasn't got ill intent, you're not allowed to kill him. Okay? The halachic ramification and the problem comes, as the Gemara says, kasha stama astama. The stam, the regular case, is going to be a question on the other regular case. What's the regular case? Our case is, if it's clear as day that he has ill intent, you kill him. What if it's not clear as day? You have a suffix. we have a doubt. There's a doubt over here. I'm not sure. It's not clear as day. It looks like it could be that he has ill intent, but it's not clear as day. I have a suffix whether he's coming to kill me or not. What's the halacha in that case? You're allowed to kill him. Right? If it's clear as day he's got ill intent, sorry, you're not allowed to kill him. If it's clear as day he's got ill intent, kill him. If it's not clear as day, then don't kill him. If you have a suffix, you're not allowed to kill him. Yeah? That's what we see from here. Again, how? The inference. The inference is, if it's clear as day he's coming to kill you, then kill him. Inferring that, if it's not clear as day, then you're not allowed to kill him. Yeah, is that clear? So that's the inference. The inference from the first brisa is that if it's a suffix, you're not allowed to kill him. The last brisa is, the second brisa says, if it's clear as day that he came in peace, then don't kill him. If you have a doubt, if you have a suffix, kill him. You see this? So we have a stira, a contradiction, not the actual cases themselves. Actual cases themselves are not halakhically huge. If it's clear as day, kill him. If it's clear as day he's coming to kill you, kill him. If it's clear as day he's not coming to kill you, don't kill him. That's fine. But the inference, the stammer, the inference, if it's clear as day he's coming to kill you, kill him. If it's not clear as day, i.e. suffix, don't kill him. If it's clear as day, he's coming in peace, don't kill him. If it's suffix, then do kill him. So we have this infer, the two inferred cases are contradictory. Yeah, the brisas themselves are not contradictory, but the inference, the stamma, as the Gemara calls it, the stam case, not the extreme case that the brisa says, but the stam inferred case, That's contradictory. Yeah, do you hear? Clear? Yeah? Mr. Steinberg?
I think so, yes.
Yeah?
No.
Should I just say it once more? No?
No.
Okay. All right. So we have a kasha that we have, and I'll say it just for myself.
No.
If there's a case of suffix, I don't know whether he's come with ill intent. Yeah, it's not clear that he's come with ill intent. Suffix whether he's come with ill intent. I'm not allowed to kill him. Suffix whether he's come with good intent. I am allowed to kill him. Yeah? Contradictory. The Gemara says, Loi Kasha. It's not a Kasha. It's not a difficulty. Now we can turn to the next page. There is no contradiction. Kan, in one case, we are dealing with Ba'av al-Haben, with a father on a son. And Kan, in the other case, we're dealing Ba'ben al-Ha'av, with a father, with a son on the father. Meaning, again, we want to find a case where it's clear as day that the person did not come with ill intent. What case is that? Family.
Sorry.
Yeah, relatives. If you were burrowing in, yeah, you were burrowing in to
I'm a stranger.
Yeah,
I'm going in.
You're a stranger. You're a stranger, and you're tunneling in. And as you pop your head up through the floorboards, you see a family picture on the wall. And that family picture is a photograph of you, yeah, and your son, and his family. Yeah, you just burrowed into a random house, but it turns out, oh, here's my son's house. Yeah,
oh,
so
hi.
Your son is the homeowner. Is there any chance in that case that the matter is going to come to damim? Is the matter is going to come to murder?
No.
No way. Yeah. a regular case of a father and a son, that's not going to come. Yeah, that would be a case of damim loy, of yesh loy damim, case where he has blood, he's got blood, yeah, because he's not planning on killing you, because he's your father or he's your son. Yeah, so in such a case, yesh loy damim, if you would go ahead and kill that person who was in the tunnel, yeah, then you'd be obligated, you'd be chayev misa, you'd be, if there were witnesses, you'd be a murderer, because you killed someone who has blood, because he was on a roideif, because a father is not a roideif. Okay? That is a regular case of a father and son. However, sometimes, unfortunately, you have situations where relations between fathers and sons are not quite as simple, and relationships can become estranged. Yeah, and this Chazal knew that there was this of this phenomena. However, the rule is that a father's love for a son is always going to be stronger than the son's love for the father. Yeah, as estranged as they may become. Yeah, a father and son becoming estranged, the father's love for the son is always going to be stronger than the son's love for the father. Yeah, the sort of idea of this being based on Rav Dessler, as Rav Dessler explains that love and the sort of root of love is giving. Yeah, the root of love is building up a relationship through giving. As he says, the root of the shoresh, the Hebrew root of the word ahava, is hav. Yeah, hav means to give. Yeah, so ahava, love, is based on giving. The more you give to a person, the more love you build. So much so that Rav Dessler brings a case, which they say is about him himself. But he says he knew of a person who was separated from his daughter, I think it is, or son, for many years during the war, and it was actually. There are those that say it was him, because he was separated from his family. He already left Europe before his family did, and he was separated for a number of years. And then, when he was reunited with the family, the relationship, or the leftover family, the relationship he had with the one child that was left that he wasn't with was never as strong as the relationship he had with the children that he was with. Yeah, during that period of separation. The idea being that he had that time where he wasn't giving to that child. Yeah, he was giving to the other children, the children that were with him, but there were children that he wasn't with that he wasn't giving to. He didn't have the opportunity to invest, and that lacking of giving, he felt it. Yeah, he felt it very tangibly in the relationship. So a relationship based on giving. Yeah, the father, how much the father gives to the son is always going to be more than what the son gives to the father. Yeah, the son is on the receiving end for most of his years. Yeah, so the love, however estranged a relationship may be, the love for a father for a son is always going to be stronger than a son for a father. Yeah, usually fathers and sons, yesh lo damim. Yeah, yesh lo damim. Clear as day. What if it's not? What if it's not clear as day? Yeah, this relationship is a little bit estranged. Not so clear. My father might indeed, yeah, actually be coming, you know, with ill intent. Possibly. Yeah? So here is where we have the distinction. Yeah? Remember, we have a contradiction between stama, yeah, regular case. If you have a doubt whether he came in peace, one brisa says you can kill him. Another one said, if you have a doubt, you can't kill him. So here the Gemara says this is a distinction. What is the distinction? Whether we're talking about a case of the father who is burrowing in on the son, or is it the son who's burrowing in on the father? If it's the father who's burrowing in on the father is going to kill the son? Yeah, they may be estranged. You've got a doubt. It could be. I know we've got an estranged relationship, but that's your dad. The father is never going to kill the son. There, you're not allowed to kill him. You have a doubt, you're not allowed to kill him. If it's a question of father telling it on the son, the son is not allowed to assume that the father is going to be a roideif, because the love of a father for a son is too strong. However, if it will be opposite, you have a doubt whether the sun shines upon him, whether he's coming in ill intent. Why? Because at the end of the day, it's family. Yeah, it's family. It's my son. You have a doubt, though, when it's the son tunneling on the father, there's a bit more chance that it's possibly more likely that the son comes with ill intent. Therefore, if you have a doubt in such a case, the son is allowed to assume that the father is indeed a Redef, and the father is allowed to kill the son to save his life. Okay, this is how the Gemara explains the contradiction in our brises. Where one says, if you have a doubt, you're allowed to kill him. Another says, if you have a doubt, you're not allowed to kill him. We're talking about a doubt of whether he's come with good intention. Yeah, so there has to be something. What is that something? We're talking about family. Yeah, but the family is going to make a difference what sort of relationship we're talking about. If it's the father coming to the son, the father is assumed to come in peace. Yeah, even if you have a doubt, even if it's estranged. But if it's a son coming on a father, there is no such assumption. And therefore you're allowed to assume that the son is indeed a Redef and the father is allowed to kill him. Chas v'shalom, we shouldn't have such the Gemara speaks about all cases, so we are able to extrapolate and learn everything. Now, what is this extrapolation? What is the application of this halacha over here? Omar Rav, end of the first line. Omar Rav says, Rav, kol da'osi aloi, anyone who comes upon me, b'machtarta, in a tunnel, katilnale, I'm going to kill them. Leva me Rav Chanina, aside, except from Rav Chanina, Bar Shila. Rav Chanina, Bar, the son of Shila, my timer, what's the reason? Ilema mishum de tzadiku. Yeah, could be because he's a tzadik. Yeah, even if he'd be burrowing in, yeah, he's a tzadik. You have to assume it's for positive reasons, not because he wants to steal the candlesticks, or even if he does kill the candlesticks, it's not for murder. Yeah, he's a tzadik. Ah, so the Gemara asks, "Haka asti b'machtarta." What do you mean? You can't say it's because he's a tzaddik. He's coming in a tunnel. Yeah, he's coming in a tunnel. A tzaddik digs a tunnel. Yeah, so it can't be. We're talking about a tzaddik. Ella rather mishum de kimli begave de merachim olai kerachim avala ben, because it is established to me. I know very clearly about him that he loves me like a father loves a son. Yeah? So this is an application of this halacha, that we're not just talking about a father who's coming in on a son, but someone that you know very clearly that this person is never, would never, yeah, even though you have a doubt now, they're coming in a tunnel. Yeah? But seeing as you know that person wouldn't do you any harm, therefore, you're not allowed to kill him. This will be the halachic application, or we've seen an example of how we're applying halacha to perhaps a more relevant case. Yeah, I don't know how often you have fathers tunneling in on sons, but you do have, other people tunneling in on you. Yeah, and if that person you have an idea that person would not be intending to cause you harm, even though you have a doubt now because Lamaisa, he's tunneling in. Yeah, but there we're going to say you're not allowed to tunnel him. You're not allowed to kill him. Yeah. Okay. I think we'll call it a day here. And at this point, I think this is going to be the end of this sugya, and we'll start something new next week. That's okay with you?
What would you start next week? Any idea?
I'm not sure yet. Okay. Do you have any ideas? Any suggestions?